What up, what up, what up? This is your man Dre Day from Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast, and I have a public service announcement for all you listeners out there. Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground in 2018, I had so many questions. How do I record an episode? Where do I find background music? How do I get my show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all the other places people like to listen? Also, where do I find advertisers? The answer to every one of these questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, distributing, and monetizing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and 100% easy to use. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast, go to anchor.fm/start to join me in the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start to join. Oh, one thing, you can record your episode from your phone or computer. So again, go to anchor.fm/start to join. And I can't wait to hear your podcast. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are now tuned in to a brand new episode of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. I am your host with the most, the Hood's ESPN, Crystal Street's Golden Boy, Dre Day. What's up, what's up, what's up? This is episode 284, episode 284 of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. Listen, today is February 27th. The last time I've been in this lab and recorded an episode, well, in fact, the last time I released an episode was November 25th. So you got December, January, damn near 3 months. 3 months. Your boy hasn't been active recording. Your boy's been going through it. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's mentally, whether it's been emotionally, personal. Just been going through it. You know, there's no need. You know, there's no need to get into detail, but basically in a nutshell, that's why I stepped away. Podcasting was the last thing on my mind. And then on top of that, you know, the holidays was coming. So I was, you know, initially giving the podcast game a break when the holidays was around the corner. And then everything else basically trickled in immediately after that, basically starting off the new year. So that's another reason why I stepped away. But I'm seeing a therapist. Shout out to my therapist. Wonderful woman. Shout out to Cindy. Out of state. She's a out of state therapist, you know, we talk on the phone or whatnot. And yeah, my schedule was so crazy to do these, in person things. So, we chop it up on the phone. We chop it up on the phone and whatnot. But she basically was saying that how, with the stuff that you're dealing with, that you're currently dealing with, which I still am, she basically was saying that how sports, since you love it the way you do, it could be your mask for pain. So get back out there. There's some things that's been going on that needs your opinion. So something tells me that she might have been listening to some old episodes of mine. And if so, Cindy, I appreciate it. I definitely appreciate it. But again, this is the return. This is the return episode. In the words of the great Michael Jordan, when he sent that fax and he put two words, "I'm back." That's the best way I can sum it up, is that I'm back. Now, yes, a lot has been going on. Well, a lot has gone on since I've been gone. I know there's gonna be some things that I'm probably gonna miss out on speaking on, but I just think that, in my opinion, I'm gonna try my best to piggyback on some of the stuff that has gone on, because I know there's some people out there that would love to hear my opinion. And with that being said, I want to thank everybody that reached out to me while I was away. I've had a lot of people, reach out to me, whether it was through DM or just people that I know personally. And they was like, "Yo, D, when you coming back? When you coming back?" You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my bro in Philly, Keezy. Me and him have actually joined forces and are doing a joint podcast together. So not only am I doing Sportswear with Dre Day podcast, I'm also doing a joint podcast with my bro Keezy in Philly. It's called Interstate 95 Podcast. For those of y'all that, drive them whips, if you're familiar with the interstates, in order to get to Philly from New York, you got to take Interstate 95 South. So being that he's from Philly and I'm from New York, I figured why not come together and put our minds together and create some great content. So, we do IG live sessions. We have our talks on IG live. We don't do, the audio aspect, but we do it on IG live. So I was toying around with that while I was on my hiatus, but something said, you know what? It's time to come back home with it. It's time to come back to the essence of it. And like I said, your boy is back. So that's basically what I've been up to. Again, I was on a hiatus. No need to get into detail, but your boy was going through it. Your boy was definitely going through it. But I'm somewhat myself. I'm not all the way there, but again, sports is my mask for pain. And I decided that, you know what, I'm going to try to come back and, give this a go. So with that being said, let's get straight to it. I'm going to dive into a lot this episode here. I'm going to dive into a lot. Like, I'm going to dive into some NBA shit. I'm going to dive into some NFL shit. I'm going to dive into some MLB. Just let me get, again, I'm a Yankee fan, so I'm going to speak on my Yanks just a tad bit. Y'all know I love the women. Y'all know I love the women. So, I'm going to throw some WNBA talk in there. Some huge things happened in the WNBA. And I'm going to speak on some college basketball. More so on the women's side, because I'm not going to lie to y'all. I don't really watch the guys like that. I've been watching women's basketball. I feel like that's more exciting for me at this point. But I'm going to get into all of that later. But the first thing I want to do is, let's dive into some NBA talk. And let's just get it out the way. Congratulations to LeBron James.
on becoming the all-time leader in scoring in the history of the game. He surpassed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar a few weeks ago against the Oklahoma City Thunder. It sucks that they lost the game, but hey, he broke the record nonetheless. So, you know, congrats to him on that. No, it does not make you the GOAT. So I hope people could put that to rest. You know, just because he passed Kareem doesn't make him the GOAT. You know, you're never going to be the GOAT. Definitely top five. Definitely top five. I'm not here to give my reasons on why he's not the GOAT, but if you know, you know. What's understood don't need to be explained. I gave him his flowers. I congratulated him. There you have it. That All-Star game last weekend was abysmal. I was at, a friend's house watching the game and was just in complete disgust at what I was watching. Probably one of the worst All-Star games I ever seen. I do want to shout out Justin Tatum. I do want to say congratulations to him because he did win All-Star MVP. You know, him being a protege of the late, great Kobe Bryant and having the All-Star MVP named in his honor, I'm sure that made him feel good. I know he was draining all these threes. I think he had 55 points, if I'm not mistaken. You don't want to critique him on the way he played. He did what he was supposed to do. But the game as a whole was horrible. It was very distasteful to watch. No defense was being played. I'm thinking, okay, second half coming. Okay, now niggas is going to start playing D. Niggas was still playing like the way they was playing in the first half. Just disappointing to watch. Listen, the slam dunk contest was the best part of All-Star Weekend. The slam dunk contest. And let me just say this. McClung, I would say him and Dame Lillard was the MVPs of All-Star Weekend. With his slam dunk performance, every dunk, I think he had a perfect score. I think one dunk, he had an average of 49 because Lisa Leslie, didn't give him a perfect score. I love you, Lisa. But he saved the slam dunk contest. You know, I know Kenyon Martin Jr., he did well. Homeboy from the Knicks, I'm not even going to say his name because it's not even deserving to say his name. You were better off not even doing the dunk contest. I don't know what the fuck you was doing out there. Dame Lillard won the three-point contest. Dame has been doing a lot as of late. You know, he won the three-point contest, which you would think he would have been had did that, but this was the year that he won it. And this was the year where I actually picked him to win. And then he dropped 71 on Sunday. Dropped 71 points against the Houston Rockets. So congrats to him on that. I think this scoring shit, where it's so easy to score, it's embarrassing right now with basketball. And I can really understand why people have been having a distaste for basketball right now. NBA basketball. Because the scoring is so damn easy. You had Donovan Mitchell drop 71. Luka had 60 and 20. Dame had 71. You had so many 50-point games. Like, come on. Something got to give. This is why people has had a distaste for NBA basketball. This is why people say the game is so soft right now. A la to what we saw All-Star Weekend. But there have been some good spots with basketball right now. The Milwaukee Bucks are riding high on a crazy winning streak right now. If you was to ask me who do I think is the clear-cut favorite to win the NBA championship at this present moment, I would say it is Milwaukee. Now, yes, Phoenix did pick up Kevin Durant from Brooklyn. Y'all know I was going to speak on that. Kyrie is now in Dallas. KD is in Brooklyn. I mean, KD is now in Phoenix. Westbrook is still in LA, but not with the Lakers, with the Clippers. A whole lot took place during that trade deadline. And I'm not going to lie to you. I still have Milwaukee as my favorite to win the championship. Now, as far as who I think is coming out the West, I think the safe bet would be with Kevin Durant playing in Phoenix. I would say Phoenix, but we don't know what's going to happen with him. Well, actually, I do know what's going to happen when he comes back from injury. He's going to raise hell. He's going to raise hell. But can Chris Paul stay healthy? That's the key. If Chris Paul can stay healthy this upcoming postseason, with Booker, with KD, and with DeAndre Ayton, I don't see why Phoenix does not get to the NBA Finals. I just don't. With that team fully established, and then you add Kevin Durant, I trust them over Denver. I trust them over Memphis. And I get it, they're the fourth seed, but just on pure skill and KD being there, I would take them over Denver. And I'm enjoying what I'm seeing from Denver. You know, right now, they're the best team in the West. I get that. Nikola Jokic is probably on quest to win his third straight MVP. Probably. I mean, you got Giannis. You got Embiid. You got Joker. Tatum name is still out there because Boston has the record that they have. The MVP race is going to be very interesting this season. Very much. I want to give shout out to the Sacramento Kings because who would have thought that they would be the third seed in the Western Conference? When the season first started and you predicted that the Sacramento Kings will be the third best team in the West record-wise, you're lying to yourself. Nobody saw this coming. Nobody. Mike Brown is my coach of the year. He is definitely my coach of the year. And I know a lot of people was waiting to see how he would do with this team. Oh, he had all the success with Golden State as an assistant. Yeah, let's see how he does when he have his own team. Well, now he has his own team, and now what? Sacramento was the third best team in the West, record-wise. De'Aaron Fox is playing like a man possessed. Sabonis is playing like a man possessed. I'm glad they both had all-star appearances, rightfully deserving. And I love what De'Aaron Fox said about all these signees that was coming from the West. My man said, I don't give a fuck what they doing. I salute that. That's the mentality that you should have. That's the mentality that you should have. Fuck what everybody else doing. I'm worried about what we doing over here. I'm loving it, man. I'm loving it. The Lakers are starting to come around just a little bit. They had a nice comeback win on Sunday against Dallas. I think they was down like 27 at some point, and they came back. LeBron being dramatic. How you get hurt and say, I heard a pop, but never come out the game? Well, actually, he did come out the game, but then you come back in. Athletes that I know that heard a pop, they don't go back in the game. They out for the rest of the game. But somehow you just managed to come back in the game even though you heard a pop in your ankle. Come on, man. Diva ass nigga. I got nothing but respect for him, but that man could be such a diva at times. Listen, I think the Lakers will be a dangerous team if they make the playoffs. But the key is, can Anthony Davis stay healthy? We know LeBron gonna be healthy, somewhat. But Anthony Davis is more of a liability than LeBron is. With the new additions that the Lakers have, which is D'Angelo Russell, Beasley, homeboy from the Wizards. I can't pronounce his name. I'm not even gonna try because I don't want to muffle it. I know he wears number 28. And he wore 28 because of Kobe and Gigi. So, y'all know who I'm talking about. I just don't want to muffle nobody's name because I damn sure wouldn't want nobody muffling mine, which people do because they muffle my last name. No need for me to tell y'all what it is, but, you know, people muffle my last name. But if this Laker team can stay healthy, they might be a problem for somebody in the playoffs. They just might, depending on what seed they fall to. Because right now, currently, they're 12. If they can cook up a winning streak, listen, they only 2.5 back of the 7th seed. So if they can get a nice little winning streak going, I can see them doing some shit. I don't trust Minnesota going down the stretch. I don't trust Utah going down the stretch. New Orleans, not so either. So I could definitely see them qualifying for the play-in at least. I'm going to give Golden State the benefit of the doubt just because they're defending champs and they're battle-tested. Now, that road record ain't nothing to be bragging about. 7-23. You've only won 7 games on the road. Y'all better not make the playoffs. Because it don't look like y'all going to be having any home court advantage. If y'all make the playoffs, y'all going to be starting that shit on the road. And with this record, shit. But yeah, I'm enjoying what I'm seeing from the NBA. I understand why people has had a distaste for the league this year. With All-Star Weekend, with this crazy load management. I get it. I totally get it. Listen, if somebody was to say they're not liking the way the game is being played right now, I can't argue with them. But as a basketball fan, I still have to tune in. I just have to. Even though some of the shit that they're saying, I agree with. But as a basketball fan, I still have to tune in. I'm sorry. I still have to tune in. Both New York teams are doing well. I mean, again, Brooklyn lost KD and Kyrie. And they're still managing to be the 5th seed. Jacques Vaughn got an extension, which I'm happy about. So they basically took the interim tag off, and now he is a full-time head coach, which is deserving. Because what he did with Brooklyn this season, when we got rid of Nash, which he shouldn't have been the coach to begin with, but that's neither here nor there. What he did with this team, before the trades took place, we got to commend him. He deserved a head coaching job, and he got it. Nate McMillan got the axe, though. That I didn't like. Because what's going to happen is he's going to struggle to find a new job. And he's a damn good coach. He did his thing in Indiana. He did his thing with this Atlanta team. Aside from this season, they was just in the Eastern Conference Finals the season before last. And then now he got the boot. But again, this is a player-driven league. So something tells me that him and Trae Young, or maybe him and Collins, had a falling out. And again, this is a player-driven league. They will take the player over the coach. Maybe that's what it was. So now he's going to be riding the pine unemployed for quite some time before some team gives him an opportunity to coach. Quinn Snyder, who used to coach the Jazz, immediately got a 5-year deal coaching him. Immediately. Now, I remember when Nate McMillan got the Hawks job, they kept that tag with him for a while before they gave him an extension. This man didn't even coach a game yet. He hasn't even made his debut with the team yet, and they already gave him 5 years. I think I spoke too much on the NBA now. Let's get to some NFL talk. Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs on winning the Super Bowl. I was fortunate enough to watch the game. Now, mind you, Super Bowl weekend was my weekend to work, so I really thought that I wasn't going to be able to catch the game in its entirety, but I was able to. I was. I don't know what it was, but there was no discharges at my job at the time. From 6:30 to the game was over, I probably only had to clean one room. And luckily for me, the room that I cleaned, I was able to watch the game. So I was able to watch the game at its entirety and the halftime show, which I'm going to speak about as well. I enjoyed the game, but I had only one problem. That holding call at the end. The holding call that might have cost us having the Super Bowl go into overtime. You don't make that call in that situation. Now, yes, it was a hold. I'm not even sitting here saying that it wasn't. Yes, it was a hold. Juju was held. And I appreciate the defensive back even admitting it after the game. Yes, he held him. But in that situation, in that sequence, at that part in particular time of the game, you do not make that call, especially not on that stage. Because what you did was you gave them an extra 15 yards, and now all they got to do is kill time, which is exactly what they did. Because obviously, keep the ball in bounds, have Philly use all their timeouts, take a knee, get the clock to stop at a certain time, kick the field goal, bam, and let Philly try to work some miracle, and then game is over. I didn't like that call because my whole thing is this. And again, I watched the game at its entirety. I watched the whole game. The whole game. Okay? It wasn't that many penalties that was called. It might have been, if I had to put a ballpark figure on how many penalties I peeped in that game, less than 10. So basically, in a nutshell, the refs let them play. It was a lot of holding going on in that game, to say the least. And then you picked that fucking time to call the hold. Now, yes, I'll be the first to admit, I picked Philly to win this game. I wanted Philly to win. With the season that Jalen Hurts had, I wanted him to continue to prove the doubters wrong and him win the MVP. I love me some Patrick Mahomes. And yes, he is the best quarterback in the NFL. I know everybody was so quick to say it was Joe Burrow. I guess we can put that to rest now. He might be number two, but he definitely is not number one. That would be Patrick Mahomes. Sorry, but not sorry. But I did want to see Philly win the Super Bowl. The Kelce brothers, shout out to both of them, Travis and Jason. To have two brothers go against each other in the Super Bowl. Now, yes, I know a few years ago, probably a decade ago, we had Jim and John Harbaugh, the coaches go against each other with the Niners and Ravens. But to have two players go against each other that are brothers, go against each other in the Super Bowl, I thought was dope. Mama Kelce won regardless. And it was a bone that I had to pick with that because everybody kept talking about Mama Kelce. What about Papa Kelce? Because it was brought to my attention that the father is very active. But from what I saw out of it is the mother is more like Travis. More out in the open. More charismatic. And the father was more like Jason. More laid back. More not wanting to be in the public eye. Not wanting the spotlight to be on them. I get it. But again, congrats to the Kansas City Chiefs. Congratulations to Patrick Mahomes on winning another Super Bowl MVP. Listen, the dude has been in the AFC Championship game ever since he has been the starter for the Kansas City Chiefs. Just think about that. I think this is his fifth year in the league. His fifth year. I think six in total, fifth year starting. And every year he has started, the Kansas City Chiefs have been in the AFC Championship game. Just amazing. Just amazing. Is he the GOAT? No. We already know who is. Does he have the chance to surpass him? Absolutely he does. Now, some people saying he don't have to win seven rings to be the GOAT. Probably not. Well, at least in my eyes, you're going to have to get that. You're going to have to get that in my eyes. Speaking of GOAT, my man finally decided to hang it up. And it's looking like this time it's legit. It's looking like it's legit. Which I'm hoping. Don't you dare come back, Tom. Don't you dare come back, Tom. You better stay right where you are at. And that's retiring. You got this Fox. You know, you got this deal with Fox where you're going to be calling the games. I know next season you're taking off. So the 2023 season you're not going to do. You're going to make your debut in 2024. Don't you dare get back on that football field. We don't want to see you. We don't want to see you. We do not want to see you back on that football field. There's nothing left for you to prove. You're already the GOAT. Nothing left to prove. At all. You better stay right where you at. Blaze these buns that you are rumored to be doing. Spend that time with your kids. That much needed time with them. Focus on studying. Because again, when it comes to repetitions and studying, nobody does it like you. Probably you and Peyton are probably the best at it. The same way that you took that energy as into studying defenses, you should do that as it pertains to now calling games. Study. Because I want you to be better than Romo. Because it baffles me on how great he is at this, but he couldn't do that when he played football. I don't understand it. I don't get it. So I need you to surpass that, Brady. Show them why you the GOAT. Show them. Now, with that being said, you know, it's a lot of trade talks that's been going on now. Lamar still hasn't gotten his money from Baltimore, which is baffling to me. I still don't see why this man has not received his money yet. Me personally, I couldn't play for this team. I just couldn't. Like, what more does Lamar have to prove to you? Now, I get it. The last two seasons, he missed the last few games of the season. I get that. So maybe they're using that against him. And maybe they're also using against him that he's his own agent. Maybe they're using that against him. But I don't see how Deshaun Watson could have got the deal that he got with Cleveland immediately after being traded. I don't see how Kyler Murray got his money, got his extension. But yet Lamar didn't get his. Lamar has an MVP under his belt. What does Deshaun Watson have under his belt? And I'm not talking about any of this shit off the field. I'm not even talking about that. Because if you want to be technical, let's keep it all the way 100. If you want to take it there, which I could take it there, if you want to add that to the equation, that's more of a reason on why Lamar should have got his money. Because Lamar has had no issues off the field. Deshaun has, allegedly. That's more of a reason on why Lamar should have gotten his money. He has an MVP under his belt. He is the Ravens offense because without him, they're to shit. Those two reasons right there is more of a reason on why Lamar should have been gotten his money from the Baltimore Ravens. Now, I get that he turned down something earlier in the season. I get that. But this man should have still received some money by now. Fully guaranteed at that. Aaron Rodgers, once again, is being a diva. Once again, being a diva. He went to a dark retreat. Was in a cave or whatever they talking about for 4 days. To, I guess, make up his mind on what he's going to do this offseason. Is he going to stay with Green Bay? Is he going to go to Vegas with Devontae Adams? Is he going to possibly go to the Jets in a trade? Because honestly, those are the three teams that are pretty much on Aaron Rodgers' radar. Does he stay in Green Bay? Does he go to the Jets via trade? Basically, wherever he go is going to be a trade. If he goes to the Raiders, it's going to be a trade. If he goes to the Jets, it's going to be a trade. Because he's still under contract with Green Bay. Green Bay gave him all this money. And he's doing what Brett Favre did to them before he left. He don't know if he want to play, he want to retire. 1 minute you want to play, 1 minute you don't know. You're basically doing the Green Bay to what Brett Favre did to you. I feel bad for Jordan Love. Because he might be ready to play. But Aaron Rodgers, being the diva that he is stunting his growth. Let's call it what it is. Great quarterback. 4-time MVP. We get that. But he's a diva. He's selfish. Not a good leader. Let's call it what it is. And it baffled me that people said he's better than Brady. Why? Because he could fling a ball. That's why he's better than Brady? Come on. How many playoff wins you got? The last I checked, for the last 3 seasons, you lost on your home floor. You lost on your turf, Lambeau Field, the frozen tundra is what they used to call it. And for the last 3 seasons, with your season on the line, the last game, they've lost. And you can make a case that all 3 losses, he had something to do with. He played a part in that team losing. Tampa in the playoffs, remember? The 49ers last year, divisional round, remember that? This past season against the Lions, winner takes all. He didn't have a good game. So your last 3 games, the last three games where it was win or go home, They was in your house and you lost. But now you want to hold the NFL hostage. You want to hold Green Bay hostage. And you want to be this diva. Are you playing or not? Are you going to the Jets or not? If you're going, are you going to the Raiders or not? But I will say this, though. If he goes to the Jets, that makes them a hell of a contender in the AFC. I wouldn't go as far as to say they'll get to the Super Bowl because you still got Kansas City. You still got Cincinnati. You still got Buffalo to some degree. I ain't that high on Buffalo, honestly. I think if you add Aaron Rodgers to that Jets team, they might be better than Buffalo. They just might be. Because that Jets defense is legit. I'm not gonna throw that elite word around because people like throwing that word around so freely. But I would say they'll be legit if Aaron Rodgers was to join the Jets. Obviously, the rumors with, you know, Vegas because Devontae Adams is there. And now that Derek Carr is no longer with the Raiders, I'm eager to see what's going to happen with him. I'm eager to see what's going to happen with Tua. I mean, I know they're saying Tua will be back next season, but can you really trust it, though? Can you trust that he will not get any more concussions? Because me personally, if I'm the Dolphins and I'm seeing what's going on with Lamar in Baltimore, I'm trying to work something out to get Lamar over there with us. And he's from Miami. Because it's looking like Baltimore might franchise him. They might throw that franchise tag on him. And they might throw the one on him to where he can't negotiate with nobody else. Because remember, there's two franchise tags. There's an exclusive one. And then there's one where, you know, they could franchise you, but yet you could explore other options. But I'm eager to see what's going to happen with Derek Carr. He visited the Jets. Does he go to the Jets? Does he go to Tampa? Because I tell you this. I know everybody loves talking about Derek Carr, but he's a good quarterback. But listen, if Aaron Rodgers go to the Jets, they got a shot to get to the Super Bowl. If Derek Carr goes to the Jets, they got a shot to make the playoffs. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference in what I'm saying? Aaron Rodgers to Jets got a chance to get to the Super Bowl. Derek Carr goes to the Jets. They got a chance to make the playoffs. It's a difference. Because listen, let's be real. In less than 30 degree weather, Derek Carr ain't that good. He's probably what? 1-8? 2-8? You go to the Jets. You're playing in MetLife. Obviously, that's outdoors. When it gets to late November, going into December, it gets brick out here. This ain't Vegas. And it ain't a dome. That means you got to go to Buffalo. That means you got to go to Foxborough. That means you got to play in your own stadium. The weather's going to be very low. Very low. Who knows? You might have to play Pittsburgh. It's cold there sometimes too. You might have to play in Baltimore. It's cold there sometimes. So the Jets got some serious thinking to do. Serious thinking to do. I'm trying to think. Is there anything else worth talking about in the NFL? I'm trying to think. Oh! Sean Payton. New head coach in Denver. And he immediately said, Russell Wilson, fuck all that special treatment, all that shit out the window. And rightfully so, it should be. This was by far his worst season. You came into Denver thinking you was the shit, own parking lot, own locker room, own trainers, all that shit. You thought you were better than everybody on that team. And you by far had your worst season of your career. And what made it worse, your old team made the playoffs and you didn't. Well, actually, Seattle didn't make the playoffs. Or did they? I'm trying to think. Did Seattle make the playoffs? Anyway, they did better than your ass. That's what matters. Okay? It made Pete Carroll look like a prophet. Sean Payton, let it be known. All that's gone. I'm basically paraphrasing. I was really hoping Rex Ryan would get that defensive coordinator job. But they gave it to Vance Joseph, who used to be the head coach for the Broncos a few years ago. I was really rooting for Rex Ryan to get it. I mean, I love what he does on NFL Countdown on ESPN, but I would have loved to see him orchestrate a defense again. Because as a head coach, he was good. He was decent. I get that he led the Jets to two straight AFC championship games. I get that. But as a defensive coordinator, where he just has to worry about defense. He doesn't have to be the head honcho and oversee everything. He just could just focus on his specialty, which is defense. That Broncos defense would have been damaging next season. But it is what it is. It's looking like he's going to be staying at NFL Countdown on ESPN. And I'm okay with that. Because again, I fucks with him now. When he was the head coach for the Jets, didn't really fuck with him. But that was because, you know, I'm Tom Brady. I'm Patriots fan. Couldn't really fuck with him. I'm trying to think. Oh, Eric Bieniemy. He left the Kansas City Chiefs as an offensive coordinator. And he now goes to the Washington Commanders to be their offensive coordinator. Maybe this might be the break that he needs. Because I'm also seeing that not only is he their offensive coordinator, but he's also assistant head coach. So who knows? Maybe Ron Rivera stinks up the joint as the head coach. And who knows? Maybe Eric Bieniemy gets the head coaching job in Washington. Because, again, he was the offensive coordinator in Kansas City. And was getting a lot of notoriety as the offensive coordinator. But for some reason, as it pertains to him getting job interviews, which he's had plenty, he just couldn't find a place to where he could be a head coach. Now, some people believe that Andy Reid had something to do with it. Not saying that he was blocking him from being a head coach, but with him being so much of an offensive guru, I'm talking about Andy Reid here, with him being so much of an offensive guru, as a playmaker is concerned, play caller is concerned. If you're Eric Bieniemy and you're the offensive coordinator, you're not gonna get the flowers that you rightfully deserve. All the success is gonna go to Andy Reid. So I think with him taking this leave, now for some people it might be a demotion. Me personally, that's what I thought it was. Because how do you leave a team to where you're guaranteed going to the AFC Championship game every season, to now going to a team that was damn near dead last in everything in offense. You're now going to that team. But who knows? Maybe you can turn them into something. And then maybe people will see, okay, yeah, maybe it was Eric Bieniemy. Maybe it wasn't all Andy Reid. Yeah, let's give this man a head coaching job. Now it might be time to give him that opportunity now. Who knows? But we're going to see. Let's see what happens this upcoming season. Well, next season with the Washington Commanders. Let's see what happens. We are definitely going to see. Okay, now let's get to some MLB talk. Now, listen, again, the baseball season is right around the corner. Spring training has officially begun. And, listen, I'm not gonna lie to y'all, man. Y'all know how I am when it comes to my Yankees. I ride and die with my Yankees. I will continue to be on that ship with my Yankees. I still don't have us beating the Astros. And it pains me to say that. It pains me to say that. Now, yes, we did pick up Rodon from the Giants. Aaron Judge is still with the Yankees. And it's looking like he's going to stay with us for the foreseeable future. He's going to retire a Yankee. He's our new captain, you can say. Well, me personally, I can't really call you that until you get us some hardware. See, when Jeter was our captain, you know what I'm saying? When he was our captain, see, some hardware came along with that. 5 world championships, to be exact. Judge, you're the captain now, but you got to give us some championships, man. Now, yes, last season, you broke the American League record for home runs in the season, 62. We don't need you doing that this year. We don't need you doing that. Now, by all means, if you do it, God bless you. But we need you to have a better postseason than you did last year. You know what I'm saying? We need that. Gerrit Cole, we truly need you to be that ace that we paid you to be. Frankie Montas, he's out for the season. Shoulder injury. So it's looking like our pitching rotation will be Gerrit Cole, Nestor Cortez, Rodon, Severino, and I'm assuming that Domingo, I think he's going to be our fifth pitcher. I preferred him more than Montas anyway, honestly. Because Montas was a disappointment from coming from Oakland. Now I get it. Oh, he came during the trade. Let's see how he does in the full season. Well, guess what? We ain't going to be able to see that shit now because he hurt. I'm eager to see what our offense is going to look like. I'm mad we still got Hicks. I wish we'd have got rid of him. I'm not sure if we still have Donaldson. I'm hoping we don't. But let's see. Let's see what happens with my Yankees. But now let's get to the part that I love the most. We got to give it up for the ladies. Y'all really didn't think that I was going to make my return and not speak about women's basketball. I really hope y'all didn't think that. Y'all really didn't think that I was not going to speak on women's basketball on my return. I really hope y'all didn't think I was going to do that. I mean, I wish I would have started off doing that. But, you know, I want to, you know, start with all the other stuff. I should have started with this. I should have. Because it's much more deserving. And it's much more... It is much more deserving. The ladies should have been the first thing I spoke about. But in hindsight, maybe I saved the best for last. The WNBA, man, listen, this upcoming season, man, I'm excited. Now, remember, I haven't recorded since November. So a lot has gone on since November. Two super teams have been formed. New York and Las Vegas. Now, yes, the Las Vegas Aces, they're already the champs. They're defending champs. But now they're a super team now with the addition that they added. They added my girl. They added my baby. The real CP3, Candace Parker. They added her to the fold. They added Aisha Clark, another playmaker. Now, yes, they did lose De'Erica Hambry, and I loved her playing for the Aces. She fit them so well, and she did not take it very lightly. She did not take them letting her go very lightly. She didn't. She did not. Not at all. But she's playing for the Sparks, so she's still on the West Coast. But again, this Las Vegas Aces squad is dangerous. My two favorite WNBA players are on the same team. Candace Parker and Asia Wilson. Those are my two favorite players. And they are now on the same team. Candace is now back with Chelsea Gray, who she won a championship with in 2016 with the Sparks. Becky Hammon is still the coach. Kelsey Plum is still there. Jackie Young is still there. This Aces team right now, you can make a case, is the clear-cut favorite to win back-to-back WNBA championships. But hold up. Pump the brakes. Hold the phone. Stop the presses. New York said, we got something for y'all. Okay, Candace, you want to go there? Okay. But before that, they picked up Jonquel Jones. Last season's WNBA MVP. Because this season, Asia won. Last season, Jonquel Jones won. Jonquel goes to the Liberty. Then Candace says, okay, I'll go to Las Vegas. Now the question was, where is Breonna Stewart going to go? Does she stay in Seattle? Does she go to Washington? Or does she possibly go to the Liberty? Now, I remember this vividly. I was on the train, New Jersey Transit, and I got an alert saying that Stewie is torn between the Storm, Mystics, and Liberty. I immediately said she's going to the Liberty. And it was made even more crystal clear when Candace decided to go to the Aces. Because once she decided to go to the Aces, that's one super team. Now you need another team to offset that. And Stewie did not disappoint me. Now remember, Kevin Durant was emphatically telling Stewie, come to the Liberty. Come to the Liberty. And then, bam, you leave Brooklyn and go to Phoenix. But Stewie made the decision. She chose to come to the Liberty. So now you have Stewie, Jonquel Jones, Sabrina Ionescu, and, oh, guess what? The Liberty wasn't done. They picked up Courtney Vandersloot. Yes, the same Courtney Vandersloot that played with Candace in Chicago and won a championship with. Yep, that Courtney Vandersloot. One of the great point guards this game has ever seen. So now you have her in the backcourt with Sabrina Ionescu. That backcourt going to be dangerous. Let me tell you this. This upcoming WNBA season is going to be one for the ages. This might be one of the best upcoming seasons in the history of the WNBA. It just might be. And if all else goes well, we are looking at a WNBA finals of the Las Vegas Aces and the New York Liberty. Because that Liberty team is going to be dangerous. They are going to be deadly. And I didn't even mention the other players that the Liberty have. They still got DeeDee Richards. If she can stay healthy, they still got Big Mama Steph, who happens to used to play with Breonna Stewart at UConn. They still got Laney if she can stay healthy. See, this Liberty team last year was good. They just had so many injuries. But now that you bring these stars to this team now, shit. In the words of Clay Davis, for my Wire fans, I know who that is. This season going to be spooky. We are looking at possibly the New York Liberty and Las Vegas Aces in the WNBA Finals. That's what we're looking at right now. And WNBA, I need to say this right now. I need to say this. I cannot let this slip under the rug. I have to say this. I don't know how many times the Liberty and the Aces are going to play this upcoming season. It may be three. It may be three times. It might be four. Max. But all those games have to be on live television. It has to be nationally televised, which means it has to be on either ESPN or ABC. When the Aces and the Liberty play this upcoming season, WNBA, don't you dare put them on NBA TV. Don't you dare put them on Prime Video. That game has to be on ABC or ESPN. All eyes have to be on those two games. Well, three or four games. Because they might play each other three times during the season. Then remember, you got the Commissioner Cup. For those of y'all that don't know, the Commissioner Cup is where the best teams in each conference during the middle of the season play each other for extra money and a trophy. I mean, both teams receive, you know, a bonus, but obviously the winning team gets the bigger purse. Who's to say that they won't see each other in the Commissioner's Cup? So we might see the Aces and the Liberty play each other a good three, four times this season. This game has to be nationally televised. It has to be on ABC or ESPN. You cannot put that game on Prime Video. You cannot put that game on NBA TV. It has to be on either ABC or ESPN. You want to talk about marketing? Marketing the game? You want to talk about making some money? Getting that revenue shit up? That's the game to do it. Aces, Liberty. If they play three to four times this season, those games have to be on ABC or ESPN. Simple and plain. Don't fumble the bag, WNBA. Don't fuck this up. Diana Taurasi is staying with the Mercury, which I was hoping she would do. I think she should retire a Mercury. She's done a lot for the league. A lot of people revere her as the GOAT, one of the GOATs. Listen, she deserves to retire with the Mercury, just like Sue Bird deserved to retire a Seattle Storm. Brittany Grinder is back. Yes, she is back. Yes, we know she's home from Russia, but she's back on the basketball court. She's been practicing at the Mercury's facility. She has signed a one-year deal with the Mercury, so yes, she's back, and I knew that was going to happen. With all that they've done for her while she was away, I didn't really see her going to another team. So I'll say this. I know for me it's Aces, Liberty, WNBA Finals. But if the Mercury can stay healthy, don't sleep on them. Because trust me, Brittany is coming for blood this season. Remember when Three Stacks at the 95 Source said the South got something to say? Well, Brittany Grinder is back. And I'm quite sure she's going to have something to say. So I'm very interested with this upcoming WNBA season. I'm very much excited for it. Very much excited for it. Now, before I go, I got to speak on women's college basketball. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't been paying attention to the men's side as much. But I damn sure have been paying attention to the women's side. And I just want to say this as an aside. I really just want to say this as an aside. I so wish that the women of college basketball had the same right as the men. And what I mean by that is, you know how when the guys play 1 year and they're one and done and they can go straight to the NBA? I wish the girls can do that too. Because this Caitlin Clark, man, oh man, oh man, Lord have mercy. Listen, she's a junior. She's WNBA ready right now. She is WNBA ready right now. Angel Reese at LSU, she's a sophomore. She's WNBA ready right now. But it's unfortunate that they might have to do 4 years of college and then go to the WNBA. When you talk about leaders of the new class, like leaders of the new school, like Busta Rhymes with his leader of the new school, when you talk about the future of the WNBA, you're looking at it right now. When Paige Beckers get back on the court, Aaliyah Boston is going to the WNBA this season. Haley Jones is going to the WNBA this season. Holmes from Indiana, she got a few more years before she go to the WNBA. Caitlin Clark, listen, that shot that she made on Sunday to beat Indiana, if that didn't tell you she's WNBA ready now, I don't know what to tell you. Angel Reese, LSU, she is WNBA ready at this present moment. With the numbers that she's putting up this season, and I get she didn't put them up against Dawn Staley in South Carolina, I digress. But baby girl from LSU, Angel Reese, Baltimore's finest, she is a problem. She is a serious problem. And it's unfortunate that she's a sophomore and she can't go to the league yet. Because she's ready for it now. Caitlin Clark, she's ready for it now. I just wish that they could forgo their college eligibility and go to the WNBA. I just wish they could. I so wish that they could, but they can't. And it's unfortunate. I wish the women had the luxury that the guys had. Because they could be one and done and then go straight to the NBA. I wish the women had that luxury. Because these girls, these young women are ready. They ready for the WNBA. They are ready. Just think. Let's do the hypothetical, right? Aside from Paige, because, you know, she's out this season with an ACL injury, right? At the end of the day, we've seen enough from her to where we know she's WNBA ready, right? Aaliyah Boston, reigning defending National Player of the Year, right? On quest to have a perfect season at South Carolina. The jury is still out on that. But with Dawn Staley as the coach, anything's possible. You got Haley Jones at Stanford. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Paige Beckers, right? That's five players that I just named. Two of them are definitely going to the WNBA because they've done their eligibility. They've done their 4 years in college, right? Let's do the hypothetical, right? Let's say for the sake of argument, Let's say for the sake of argument that Reese, Caitlin Clark, and Paige, let's say for the sake of argument, they said, you know what? We're forgoing our college eligibility and we want to go to the WNBA. Can you imagine what that draft class would look like? That would probably be one of the greatest draft classes, probably the best draft class in the history of the WNBA. But unfortunately, that won't be the case because they don't have the luxury like the guys. Because, listen, Caitlin Clark, she is WNBA ready now. She is WNBA ready now. That young woman has got serious game. Motherfuckers talk about ice in their veins. Baby girl got ice in her veins. I watched that game. I was at work and I watched that game. You knew the ball was coming to her. You knew it was coming to her. And Indiana still couldn't do nothing. 0.9 seconds. They got to put up a shot. You know the ball coming to her. And nothing. You couldn't do nothing. And then you hear her interview at the end of the game with Holly Rowe. As soon as it came off her fingers, I knew it was money. The confidence. The brass. Baby girl is ready for the WNBA right now. And it sucks that she's going to have to play another year. She's going to have to play another year at Iowa. Because she's ready now. Angel Reese, I get she's a sophomore. She's ready now. They are WNBA ready right the fuck now. Right now they ready. But the women's basketball is going to be interesting. The conference tournaments are about to start soon. I still have South Carolina as the favorite to win the whole thing. I just think from top to bottom, they have the best team. Obviously, they have the best coach currently with Dawn Staley. I know for so many years, Gino Auriemma was the best coach, but UConn is falling on hard times right now. And I get it. Paige is out. Fudd is out. But they do got some. They got some ball players in Connecticut. But I just think with the subtraction of Paige and Fudd, I just think come NCAA tournament time, they're going to have a problem. I think they're going to have a problem. I got them at least getting to the Elite Eight. I got them at least getting there. This still UConn. Gino Auriemma is still their coach. But as far as getting to the Final Four, I wouldn't go that far as of yet. I don't have them in the Final Four. I don't. If I had to pick my Final Four right now, I would say Indiana, South Carolina, Stanford, and LSU. That would be my four. But we're going to see. We're definitely going to see. This was fun. Listen, this was my return. Again, I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Whether you've been with me from episode one to now, to everybody that reached out to me while I was away, asking me when was I coming back, how I've been. Thank you. It means a lot. Trust me, it means a lot. More than you can ever imagine. But it's a wrap for this episode. Your boy is done. Again, I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Y'all know where y'all can find me. I'm on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all podcast platforms except Tidal. I'm still on social media, on Facebook, Dre Day, Twitter, Dre Day 1985, Instagram, Dre Day 1985, or Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. I'm going to try to be more active on the podcast page because it's been a while since I've posted on that page. I think the last thing I posted on that page, I had paid homage to Serena after she had lost her last tennis match, and I posted something, you know, paying homage to her. So obviously that was September. So I need to get more active on that page again. But again, thank everybody for y'all support. It means a lot. It definitely, definitely means a lot. I've gave shout outs already. I gave a shout out to LeBron. I gave a shout out to the Chiefs. I'm trying to think, is there anybody else I want to give a shout out to? You know what? I'm going to give a shout out to me. I'm going to give a shout out to myself. Trying to weather this storm of this crooked and cruel world. And I'm continuing to get back into something that I love doing, and that's talking sports. So I want to give a shout out to me. On top of everything that's going on. Again, I'm not all the way there. But I'm still pushing. I'm still weathering the storm. I'm not one of these people that have given up. Jumped off a bridge. Jumped in front of a train. Which has been at a crazy rate in my city in New York. None of that. I'm still standing. And that's all that matters. So I want to shout out myself for this. So again, thank y'all for y'all support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. In closing, y'all know how this goes. This has been another episode of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. Episode 284 is done. Catch y'all on the flip side. It's good to be back. God bless. One love. Y'all be safe. Y'all stay safe. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here.
What up, what up, what up, man? It's your man Dre Day, man. Listen, I know I said that this episode was a wrap. I couldn't help myself. I did have a shout out after all. Shout out to Maya Moore. Shout out to WNBA great Maya Moore. She has officially announced her retirement from the WNBA. Now, for years, she was just sitting out. You know, she'd been doing, you know, her activism work off the basketball court, helping people get out of prison. Again, she had helped her boyfriend at the time, now husband, out of prison. They've written a book together. I believe they have a kid together. So she just recently announced that she was officially retiring from the game of basketball. So I felt it was only right to give her the rightful shout out that she deserves. Definitely, definitely one of the greatest players in the history of the WNBA. Now, as an aside, there was one name in particular that I spoke about in the episode, Mackenzie Holmes, when I was talking about some of the girls that were WNBA ready now. I said she had a few more years to go before she go to the WNBA. Spoke too soon. I was too excited. I totally forgot. Watching that game yesterday against Iowa, she's actually a senior. So she's actually going to the WNBA this season. So just think about that.
Just think about all those names I mentioned. Now, again, Caitlin Clark, she's a junior. If she wanted to, she can declare for the WNBA draft because she's a junior. Because I believe, because now that I think about it, I believe in college football, you can do that. In college football, you can leave as early as a junior. You can forgo your senior year and declare for the NFL draft. So, Caitlin Clark can do the same thing if she wants. Paige Beckers can do the same thing if she wants. They both can say, you know what? We want to forgo our junior year. We want to forgo our senior year and go to the WNBA draft. I would love for them to do it. I just don't think they will. Because these girls, those names that I've mentioned, I can't express it enough. They are WNBA ready now. They just are. I can't express that enough. Now, also, there's some other shout-outs that I forgot. I forgot to mention when it came to moves that were made in the WNBA. I totally forgot that the Connecticut Sun signed Breonna Jones, their reigning sixth player of the year, which was a good look because they already lost Jonquel Jones. I believe DeJuana Bonner is still there. So now that you keep Jones, Connecticut might still, you know, be a formidable matchup for a team this upcoming WNBA season. Mariah Jefferson. I love me some Mariah Jefferson. I remember her at UConn. She's been injured here and there during her time in the WNBA. I know her last stint was with the Dallas Wings. She's now joining the Phoenix Mercury. So now she's going to be playing alongside Diana Taurasi and Brittany Grinder and Skylar Diggins. I'm eager to see how that's going to play out. I think, the Awumake sisters, both of them have agreed to stay with the Los Angeles Sparks. I totally forgot about them. I want to give another shout out, Serena Williams. Her and Brittany Grinder, they were each honored at the NAACP Image Awards on Saturday. I totally forgot that. See, when you freestyle an episode and when you're done, you tend to forget, yo, there were certain things you left out after you finished recording. But this is some bonus shit. I'm adding it to the episode. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. So shout out to Serena Williams and Brittany Grinder for winning their awards at the NAACP Image Awards. And before I go, listen, as much as I love the WNBA, I have to say RIP to Simone Edwards. She passed away at the age of 49 after being diagnosed with ovarian cancer. She played at Iowa, made the Sweet 16 in 1996. She joined the New York Liberty in the inaugural season, but she didn't make it to the WNBA until 2000. She was a developmental player for the New York Liberty in 97, but she didn't get to play in the league until 2000 with the Seattle Storm. She played six seasons with the Storm, averaging 5 points a game, 3 rebounds a game, and had a nickname, the Jamaican Hurricane. So, before we go, I think it's fitting that we have a moment of silence for Simone Edwards. R.I.P. Miss Edwards. Okay, now I can go. The episode is over. No more bonus. It's a wrap. It's over. Catch y'all on the flip side. God bless. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here.
What up, what up, what up? It's your man Dre Day, and I have a PSA announcement for y'all. Did y'all know that only 38% of African Americans were able to identify financial terms on the PFN Index, an annual financial survey? Why is that? Because we're never given the tools to succeed in the financial sector. Will with American Classic Agency has been designing financial maps for his clients to succeed for over a decade for clients on both coasts. With Will, you will be able to create a game plan to get out of debt and create the wealth that you and your family deserve. If you're interested, please contact Will at willspady@gmail.com. That's willspady@gmail.com. Or call him at 443-810-0384.